Attention Vet Blast podcast listeners. We have an all-new virtual CE event called Fetch Encore going live at 11 a.m. Eastern on December 14th. This will be a feline medicine symposium, and it's an extension of Fetch Long Beach, but everyone's invited. Join us to keep learning and earning credit from the best in veterinary medicine. One afternoon, six sessions in feline medicine for only $25. That's right, $25. Register now using the link in today's show notes. Enjoy the podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. We're going to be talking all things cardiology related in cats. And this is something, actually, believe it or not, we have not covered yet in our 300 plus episodes on the Vet Blast podcast. And I can't think of a wonderful friend and colleague to talk to us more about this than cardiologist Dr. Derek Matthews in the house. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing really well. Thank you so much for having me. This is a blast to do this.
Well, that's why we call it the Vet Blast podcast.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're going to be talking about building on the Rapid Cat trial and the new study for cats and all these great things, and a little bit of information about our wonderful colleague here, Dr. Derek Matthews. Dr. Matthews is board-certified veterinary cardiologist at Thrive Pet Healthcare Specialist in North Scottsdale, Arizona. He earned his DVM degree from Colorado State University in 2015. He went on to complete a rotating internship in small animal medicine and surgery at Purdue University, followed by a cardiology residency at Texas A&M. In 2019, he became a diplomat of the American College of Veterinary Internal Medicine in cardiology. And his clinical interests include arrhythmias, congenital heart disease, interventional procedures, and management of congestive heart failure. He's also involved in the clinical study on a new treatment for cats with cardiomyopathy. And he's got two wonderful fur babies, and their names are a golden retriever named Luke and a rescue named Goose. And he loves to travel a lot. Love the golden retriever. Oh, so cute. Okay. Let's talk about Felosin CA1 because this is a really hot topic right now. I hear a lot in the conferences. So let's talk a little bit about what is it and what cat is being considered for treatment.
That's a really, really great question. And so just to start with, I don't work for the company. I'm not a drug rep for Felosin. I'm just a cardiologist that deals with these questions from referral veterinarians. I'm part of a trial. We'll get to that. CA1 kind of an older drug that's finding a purpose. Drug is and it has another name, Seramis. I'm just going to say rapamycin for the purpose of today. And it's a drug that has been around for a long time, and it's been applied in many different ways. But this is delayed release rapamycin that's given once a week, and it's currently got provisional approval for treatment of cats in the occult stage of hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. And so, but before we kind of get to that, it's probably interesting for most people to know that 14% of all cats will develop heart muscle disease at some point in their life. And of those, about 85, or it's a rough number, will get hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. The American College of Veterinary Internal Medicine, or ACVIM, has given us a consensus statement that helps us stage that disease. And so it comes down into stage A, which is predisposed cats. Stage B is cats with occult or silent disease. Stage C cats are cats that have developed a stroke or a thromboembolic event or gone into heart failure. And stage D are the more end-stage cats. And so Felosin CA1 or rapamycin has been approved for cats in that stage B, which is further divided down into B1 and B2. So B1 cats are cats with the walls of their heart are abnormally thick, greater than 6 millimeters. So they have hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, but they do not have any left atrial enlargement, which means the risk for heart failure is really low, or the risk for developing a blood clot inside of their heart is really low. And stage B2 cats are cats that have started to develop left atrial enlargement. So they're more at risk for heart failure, or they would benefit from being on anticoagulants to prevent them from, or antiplatelet drugs to prevent them from creating a blood clot. And so it has not been approved for cats in heart failure. It hasn't really been tested on cats in heart failure or cats that have developed thickening of their heart from things like hyperthyroidism or hypertension or congenital heart diseases. That's an important thing when trying to consider which cats are good cats for this drug. And then, you know, furthermore, maybe not every cat is a great cat to pick. You know, when I think about cat heart diseases, a lot of what I was taught was kind of, or how I talk to owners, let's say that way, was changed by a really large study that came out in 2018. Phil Fox is the lead author. There's about 30 other authors on there, but it's called the REVEAL study. And that was a study that looked at occult stage hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. So the cats that might benefit from Felicin CA1. And that study had over 1,000 cats in it. And what it showed is about 7 out of 10 cats in that stage B will probably never progress to heart failure or develop a blood clot in their life. And that's a lot of cats. A lot of cats just live silently with the disease and it never becomes a problem. And the other thing that study showed is if in the first 3 years after diagnosis, you don't have any progression, the chances of you developing a blood clot or going into congestive heart failure actually goes down dramatically. And so, picking and choosing which cats are going to be the ones to progress and let's get them on this medication is actually pretty difficult. That is kind of in a nutshell, is it's not 100% clear which cats would benefit. Now, over the years, there's been maybe 20 to 30 different drugs that we have said that, oh, it's promising. This is going to delay the progression of heart disease in cats. Let's give this to cats, things like ACE inhibitors or calcium channel blockers. And as we do more and more research, we find out it doesn't make a hill of beans difference in cats, or it doesn't make a significant difference in order for us to make a blanket consensus that yes, cats need it. But the goal, or what, people in the RapiCat trial that did the early research for this drug is that this is getting at not the hemodynamics. So after we've developed disease, how does it affect how our heart works? This is getting at the progression of the disease at a mechanistic cellular level. And so that's the goal of this drug as far as what cats would benefit, or why is this coming to the market now?
Okay, very interesting. All right, so we talked about which cats would benefit from it. Let's talk about how would cats benefit from getting this medication.
Yeah, so that also is, I'm going to try not to get too wonky, but this is probably involves pathways that not everybody is taught in vet school. So rapamycin's mechanism of action is it's an inhibitor of something called of mTOR. And so just like COX is cyclooxygenase, and mTOR is stands for mechanistic target of rapamycin. That's not important. It's what mTOR is, an atypical serine thyrine threonine protein kinase. So it's an enzyme that forms two complexes. So mTOR complex one, which is mTORC one, or mTOR complex two, which is mTORC two. And those two complexes are what act on the body, and they have upstream and downstream targets outside of the heart. They kind of act all over the body, which is why rapamycin, you'll hear it in like age-related disease studies. So in humans, it's used for brain cognitive issues and many things just outside of the heart. But within the heart, what mTORC1 does is it promotes anabolic processes that like increase protein synthesis and lipid synthesis. It also downregulates catabolic processes that reduce like autophagy, with like the cell's ability to remove damaged proteins and organelles. And so mTORC1 is really what promotes progression of your underlying hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. It helps as when your heart muscle starts getting thick, it makes it continue to get thick, is what's, you know, at least theorized. And then it's so when you develop HCM and your heart muscle starts getting thicker and it increases the stress on your heart muscle wall, it starts upregulating this mTORC1. Versus mTORC2 is the other pathway. And actually, it's pretty important to know about that one too. So it's important in glucose and lipid metabolism, and it promotes heart muscle cell survival, your organization within your heart muscle cells. And so if you disrupt mTORC2, not only does it put you at risk of starting to lose heart muscle cells, but also puts cats at risk of developing diabetes and not managing glucose appropriately. And actually, if you inhibit both pathways too much, it actually causes heart muscle disease and can lead to long-term metabolic derangement. So for that reason, this is just a once weekly medication, which actually makes it pretty stinking easy for cat owners. And it's delayed release as well. So the carrier agent for Felicin CA1 is also part of the mechanism. And so that's why just compounding rapamycin isn't the same thing. And what other studies have shown is that prolonged overexposure, so if we just give too much rapamycin, we go out and we just compound it and give it to cats, it can actually be pretty detrimental to cats overall. And there's quite a few side effects to just giving rapamycin without giving it in a purposeful fashion.
Oh, fascinating. You know, it's interesting. I just love how medicine evolves, because you're right. We did not learn those pathways in vet school. Yeah. Definitely did not. Are there any contraindications in any cats?
Yeah, there is. Yeah, that's a really good question. And so cats with diabetes it does not work for cats with diabetes. And also cats with pre-existing liver disease or are on other drugs that induce cytochrome P450. So that's a lot of drugs: antifungals, beta blockers, calcium channel blockers, sisapride, macrolide antibiotics, metoclopramide, phenobarbital, pimobendan, or any diuretics. And then the label also says that cats with MDR1 gene mutations, it should be used with caution. It hasn't been evaluated at all in cats with like viral diseases or chronic steroid use. And so, the other thing, just as a practicing clinician, blood work needs to be monitored closely, like before you start them on it and after, and, 1 to 2 months after starting it, to look for evidence of, are we becoming at risk for diabetes, or do we develop ALT or AST liver enzyme changes? So that kind of a thing. And then just like cats in heart failure or cats with severe obstructions inside their heart are also just, it's not clear that those cats should be on this medication.
Got it. Interesting. Love it. All right. And I know we're talking about the efficacy. Has it been shown to work in any previous studies?
Yeah. So there's one in cats, and it's called the RapiCat trial. So that was a double-blinded placebo-controlled trial. They enrolled 43 cats, and 36 of those 43 made it to the endpoint. So 6 months at 180 days. There was 3 treatment groups in that trial. There was a placebo, a low dose, and a high dose. And what they showed is that in that trial, the low dose showed a significant difference in maximum wall thickness at the 180-day point between the placebo and the low dose group. The high dose did not. And so what we hope is that, so that's 6 months, maybe you extrapolate that out over a larger period of time, that would mean that those cats don't progress as much. Now, I'll be honest with you, clinically, does the significant change they notice make a big difference to it, clinically how I would treat those cats? Probably not. And You know, the other thing that they were very honest about in that trial is that HCM is not just like, it's not just a one trick pony. Many different kinds of HCM exist under that umbrella. So it's a disease that doesn't always present the same way. And how it presents can really affect how it progresses. So are all the walls thick? Is the heart relaxing normally? Did we develop a big leak at our mitral valve? Is there an obstruction within the heart? What's blood flow to the heart muscle like? Is there any arrhythmias present? All of those represent different cats that may progress differently. And the really stinky thing about these trials is when you have such small numbers, which is very, very typical for cat trials, it's really tough to determine, did we get a representative example of all the different cats and kinds of cat heart diseases? And so that's why, you know, it has provisional approval right now, but there's also an ongoing trial called the HALT trial, H-A-L-T, that is building off the RapiCat or the smaller trial to include hundreds of cats, you know, hopefully that will, and to try and get a bigger sample pool to know whether or not, you know, this drug really works. In the smaller trial, there were some adverse events reported. One cat did develop diabetes. And, you know, the other cats that were had to be removed either went into heart failure or required being started on anticoagulants mid-trial. So they were withdrawn for that reason. But there wasn't any other big major adverse events. But that's the other goal of the larger HALT trial, is to try and make sure that there isn't larger adverse events in that population. And so before we get that HALT trial data back, really all we have to work off of is that one RapiCat trial. Now, it's been looked at in humans and mouse trials and in dogs with dilated cardiomyopathy, and it's shown some early promise in those other species. But what we know from, you know, just the research is that what works in a mouse might not always work in a cat or a dog or a human. And so that's why kind of building off this foundational research is going to be really helpful in helping us make future decisions about which patients to start on. Is it safe? Which patients is it safe on? And that's why for now, I think the best answer is I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fascinating. Now, you mentioned this study. How do I get potential clients or patients involved in that study?
That's a really good question. So you can Google HALT, H-A-L-T study, and it will come up to the website. So the company that manufactures this drug is Trivium or PRN Pharmaceuticals have it. And so they run the website, but on it will list all the different enrollment sites. And so you can try and find one close to you. There's 30 to 40 across the United States. And so there hopefully it's close, but in some areas, might not be that many. There has to be a cardiologist involved. And so like I'm from North Dakota, the closest cardiologist to North Dakota is either in Minneapolis or Colorado. And so depending on where you are. And so it might not be available for all people. That's kind of where people can go to find out where's an enrollment site near them.
Yeah, fantastic. Such great information. And I love how Felicin is really kind of shaping the way a little bit on how we treat and manage HCM in our cats. So great stuff there, Doc. Thank you for all the great work that you do.
Yeah, no problem. Happy to help.
Yeah. Dr. Derek Matthews, thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you to all the hard work that you put into this profession. We really, really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks.
And thank you for tuning into the VetBlast podcast. Don't forget to rate the episode as we continue to grow. And we'll see you next time right here on the VetBlast podcast. Take care, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the VetBlast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.